contradiction in my theology nagged me. I wondered how I could so easily believe in someone who created the universe, parted the Red Sea, and rose from the dead, but not trust him to take care of my daughter. I thought I had settled the issue of trust, but this new situation forced me to examine my conviction. I believed God was real, present, and actively involved in my life, and that he wasn't just an idea stuck between the pages of my Bible or an impersonal force. Although I had to admit, my life hadn't needed any dramatically divine intervention of late. God had a lot of leeway to answer, or not, any prayers offered from my comfy couch. They weren't crisis-driven. But a road trip to a third-world country? Now that required a highly engaged deity. Like a toddler's trail of discarded toys, my past was already littered with cast-off gods that had failed to satisfy. As a child, I was as sure God existed as I was the church bell would clang on Sunday morning. But a college course in Eastern religions prompted me to set him aside and seek other forms of enlightenment. I practiced transcendental meditation in hopes of raising my consciousness beyond my own self-awareness and of levitating my butt above my bed, both of which I failed to do. I chewed mind-altering mushrooms, searched the lines in my palm for direction, and calculated the planet's treks and times, all in pursuit of truth. At one point, as far as I could see, there was only one option I hadn't explored: money. I was chasing down an opportunity to take up with a wealthy friend when my sister started praying for me. She was one of those enthusiastic Christians who left pamphlets on the back of toilets and punctuated her sentences, "Praise God." She annoyed me. But one day, after my money man walked out the door and left me alone in a San Francisco apartment 4,000 miles from home, I turned to the God of my sister, Jesus, and made that mysterious crossing from unbelief to faith. The revelation and subsequent certainty of a God whose majesty and power were so great that he could create a universe so personal that he could know and care for me redirected the course of my life. I wanted everything he had for me, and I wanted to give him everything I had. So how was it that now, years later, supposedly older and wiser, I felt like a thumb-sucking bedwetting first grader? Still hoping to give the Lord opportunity to withdraw the inspiration, I pretended to carry on life as it was before the terribly disrupting thought. For several agonizing months, my fears contended with my faith, but images of an